At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Murphy is an internationally recognized award-winning portrait painter and illustrator. He is the founder of Art Academy Studios. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Thank you for having me, George. I appreciate it.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Tell us about your personal life, more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Well, I've actually moved through several areas within the visual arts field over my career. I'm 56 now. I started out in my 20s as a commercial illustrator. I did mostly science fiction book covers, and then I got into kind of mainstream illustration. I've painted just about everything from Camel cigarettes, advertising, Star Wars, Jurassic Park, and even religious greeting cards. Mm-hmm. As an illustrator, I've painted in almost every corner of the industry. I eventually got out of that because I saw the writing on the wall with all of the digital art that was coming up. This was at its infancy, but I could see it, where it was going. And so I moved out of the field and I got into doing portrait work, and I opened a publishing company. So the publishing company, I ran the art department, and we did about 157 titles, all science fiction, fantasy. I actually worked on the limited edition of Game of Thrones. So I'm sure your listeners know what that is. So I got to work with George R. R. Martin for about 7 years on that project.
Nice.
It was fun. Yeah, it's nice to be behind the scenes on a project like that. You know, he wasn't as much of a household name as he is today. I mean, he was a huge seller, but the mainstream people in this country around the world didn't really know who he was. Now I think he's in the top two or three most powerful people in Hollywood. But I did portrait work, and I had the publishing company, and then eventually I opened up a school. I was a stay-at-home dad. When I have two daughters, and when they were young, I did the whole stay-at-home dad thing because my portrait career allowed me the flexibility. And when my older daughter got to about 5 or 6 years old, I decided I needed to get serious about going back to work full time. And the portrait avenue would have had me out of town at least probably once a week for every week out of the year. I would have been out of town a little bit. And I decided, after being home with my girls that much, I didn't want to be away. And so I decided to open a school. It had been on my radar for many, many years, because getting an art education is very tough. It's very hard to find a decent education. And so I opened a school, and it grew and grew and expanded, and eventually turned into like 23 schools around the world, and into a massive online program, which is studied in nearly 80 countries at this point. And that's kind of where I am now. I got into doing this. Well, I was a construction worker when I graduated high school. I was a union carpenter in the city. And I fell in love with the artwork on science fiction books, and decided one day I was walking across from the World Trade Center to Battery Park, and it was like 12 degrees outside. And I thought, I don't want to do this anymore. It's 5:30 in the morning. All sane people are still asleep, and they're warm and comfortable, and I am walking to work, and I don't want to do this anymore. I like the work, but I didn't like the mornings, and I didn't like the weather. And you know, you go into these jobs, and all the old men that are like 38 years old with the bad backs and bad knees, arthritis, right? That industry takes a toll. You pay for it with your body. And I decided I didn't want to do that anymore. So I quit, and I decided to become an illustrator. I didn't know what the lift was on that. Had I known what the odds were, I probably wouldn't have done it. But you know, ignorance is bliss. I pushed into it, and it took me about 2 years. I got my first commercial book cover and built a career from there. And the reason that I teach is because the reason that I got into teaching, why it's so important to me, because it's a mission for me. It's not about making money. It's not just about teaching. Like, so I grew up dirt poor, zero prospects. I grew up in the Bronx, the poorest of the five boroughs in New York. And I grew up, it was a bit of a war zone. And from where I was, like, you view the world through a coffee straw. You don't even know what the possibilities are. And so art has put me in a community. I live 8 miles north of Princeton University. I live in a really nice place. And, you know, for all you hear about starving artists, the art world has been extremely generous to me. It's been very kind. It's allowed me to build a life for my children that I didn't even know existed when I was younger. And to me, I have a responsibility to pay that forward, to open up that door for anybody who's looking to have a life inside of the arts to the degree that I can help. And so starting the schools and then opening up into something broader. So I don't know if you're familiar with the book, The Go-Giver.
I am.
It's a wonderful book. That had been given to me by a friend. He talked to me about starting a franchise because of what we were doing and the kind of results we were getting. And so he gave me the book. He said, you know, these things, you're already doing these things, some of them, but let me read this. It's going to quantify them for you. It'll solidify them as ideas. And I love the book. I swear by it. It's every person that I know who opens a business, I give that to them as a gift. That's a gift for when you first open, because I think those are very powerful guiding principles. You focus on the money, you generally don't even get that. Or if you do, there's blood on your hands by the time you get there. You focus on what you're giving people, what you're putting into the world that will endure. And the money will come. It'll take care of itself, but you'll have purpose, like real purpose. And to me, I don't really care about the money. I could be homeless. I grew up with nothing. I don't want that for my kids, and I don't want that for myself. I've gotten comfortable where I am, but I could live that way. It's not about money for me. It's about sharing what I have fought so hard to figure out and passing it along to people who might be able to then have the path paved for them to have a life doing something they love.
Well, that's a beautiful thing. So did you draw when you were a kid?
Not really. Huh. Not really. I was not the artist amongst my friends. In fact, there were about three or four guys that I was friends with that all drew all the time. It was all comic book stuff at the time. I was not one of them. I kind of watched them draw, but I didn't draw. I didn't get serious about art until I fell in love with the artwork on those book covers.
Yeah.
And I was just inspired. It wasn't that I didn't make art at all, but I was barely a dabbler. I would paint for like maybe a month or so, and then I wouldn't pick up a paintbrush for 3 years. And then I'd paint a little while. I could have a moment of inspiration. But then when I saw these incredible paintings on these book covers, monsters and dragons and spaceships and just being brought to life by these incredible visionaries, I fell in love with it, and I decided I wanted a piece of it, you know?
That had a strong pull. I think that's really cool. All right. So you see the covers, you're sick and tired of getting up at 5:30 in the morning and walking through the cold, even though you didn't mind the work. You decide, because you see these covers, that's awesome, I'm interested in doing that. You commit yourself to doing it. 2 years later, you actually become commercially viable. Did it come super easy after not having really drawn for a long time? Are you, in fact, a natural?
So as time has gone by, I have become more and more convinced that there's no such thing as talent. It's earned. So when I decided I was going to become an illustrator, I painted 15 hours a day. My friends were out playing sports. I was literally in a 4-foot by 4-foot closet. It was the only place in the apartment that I grew up in that I could have privacy. So I emptied coats out of a closet. It was 4 feet by 4 feet. And I painted in there, turpentine fumes and all. Explains a lot of brain damage. And I did that. I was working 15 hours a day. I was The coming out of the closet jokes never ended. But I painted in day and night as much as I could. And I, you know, till I got where I wanted to be. I have the gift of being extreme. I don't do anything in half measure. When I quit my construction job, I went into the building. I went up to the locker. I took all of my tools out and I handed them to an apprentice.
Wow.
I burned the ships.
Yes.
And I packed it into my home. Yeah. And so like for me, when I decided I was going to be an illustrator, it was all in. I didn't do anything else. I was on a mission to get to that place. And so I went to the School of Visual Arts for one semester. It was the number one school in the country for illustration at the time. And I got it, you know, there was an education in that. I got in, and I'm not supposed to be trashing schools, but I got in. Yeah, I get warnings about this stuff, but I got in and I realized, like, I was paying it out of my own pocket. And so I realized that I wasn't going to get an education there. And I probably, based on what I showed them as a portfolio, should never have been accepted into a school of that caliber. Hmm. And what it was, you know, when I look back, well, they had X number of seats and they were going to fill them because there's revenue attached to it. And so I had no business being there if they were really training based on the quality of what I was doing. But I was there for one semester and it was a total waste of time. And I think it was like $9,000 for what I spent there. But the education for me coming out of there, and it was valuable, the 9,000 was well spent. I learned that I wasn't going to get an education there. And pretty much across the board, all of the people that I was there with went on and paid for 4 years of school and left in the same place that I left after one.
Yeah. Suboptimal.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, sadly, there are a lot of factors at play where education is concerned, and particularly in the visual arts, there are a lot of shortcomings in the education. I mean, you start with the idea that, you know, if you're making a living at art, really making a living.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Teaching in a college is not something you're going to do. I mean, unless you really feel the need to share, because they're not going to even pay you a penny on the dollar of what you earn when you produce. When you're generating art, you're paid well if you're a pro. It's not a low paycheck. And you can't afford to be splitting your time, because every job that you do generates the next. And so who's teaching? People who can't make a living at it. So if people who can't make a living at it are teaching, what are they teaching? They're teaching the same things that fail them. That passes as an education. I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me. If you had the choice to learn how to golf studying with Tiger Woods or studying with Bob at Bob's tea shack, where are you going?
Probably.
And it's not that you're going to get everything from him, but he understands what it is to be out there literally doing it and winning. He's going to have different philosophies. The philosophies alone are probably worth the price of admission. Right. And he has an understanding of how you get where you are or where he was. And so that alone, right? They say, like, you know, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time around. You spend time around five people like him, you will be incredible. You know, you may not be the best. You may not be equal to any of the five, but you will be incredible, because you're just not going to slack in an environment like that.
Amen. Well, I'd be remiss. You mentioned that you saw the writing on the wall with digital art, and that was, I imagine, some years ago. And now here we find ourselves here with AI, and I can prompt it to make any picture that I want, and some of it's good, and who knows, maybe they're going to be able to make full-length feature movies here soon. So how are you thinking about that, being that who you are, the experience you have, and then looking at tea leaves?
Yeah. Well, so I would start by saying I love what digital art has done to the art world. I love it. A lot of traditional artists really hate it. I think it's wonderful. And the reason that I think it's wonderful is that in the past, like when I was coming up, and it was only traditional artists that could produce professional level work, you might only have 100 professional illustrators with 100 visions. Now, because of the tools, the digital tools eliminate a large portion of the need for the knowledge to create. The tools do a lot of the work for you. You have a million people with a million visions. And the visions are so powerful. The viewpoints, the ideas, the art world is so rich because of the number of people who are now included in it, because of the hand up that the digital tools give you. And so I love what digital art has done. And I can sit in absolute amazement at the quality and the impressive nature of some of these works. And I think AI is going to take it, I think, even further than that. And that's fine. I think from a creative standpoint, I think that's wonderful. The more the merrier. And I've always felt like, so when I was an illustrator, competing against other people with skills, I trained people all the time when I was young. I shared everything I knew. And I would have other artists say to me, like, why would you do that? Like, there's only so much work. And my take on it was very simple. I earn my right to my place, to my work every day when I show up. And if I train people and they become better than me and I wind up replaced for it, well, so be it. The world, the art world, the illustration industry benefits from that. It moves on. And what that does is it inspires me to never get comfortable with where I am. I don't get to have 20 years under my belt and then sit back and relax because I'll get outpaced by the young people. So for me, by doing that, I was giving back, helping other people kind of, you know, see their dreams come to fruition. And in the end, it forced me to stay on point, to not get comfortable, to not just, you know, rest on prior successes. And I think that's a very healthy thing. I see a lot of artists that they get settled into a point where their name guarantees them work. And you can see, you know, 1% at a time, the magic fade. And so I don't ever want to be that person. And I think that's a very natural thing. I think you have to fight that every day. And so as far as the AI stuff is concerned, I think there's this kind of two sides of it. One is that AI at some point, I don't know how soon, like I pay attention to a lot of the AI conversations and some of them are a little bit scary how fast the stuff is moving. But I welcome all of the amazing ideas that are going to come, all of the things that humans have never thought of. I heard something the other day, some problem had been put in front of AI. It was a game. I forget the name of the game, Go. But basically the AI that was playing did something that made no sense. And it was like, but it was a winning move. And it was like, no human would have come up with that. And it's like, what does that look like in art? What does that look like in technology? Yeah, it can be a little scary. It's always scary when like we have, as humans, we have become accustomed to being the smartest thing on the planet. And that is about to change. What does that look like? Mm-hmm. Do we become obsolete? Like, this is a status we've had since the beginning of our time here. What does it look like when that changes? Do we panic? Do we fight it? Do we welcome it? Do we work with it? I don't know what that even looks like. I mean, all of the movies that I've seen, this is not going to end well for us.
Right. No, but, I appreciate that.
Yeah. But I think in the end, I think where the artwork is concerned, AI, it promises. It's, you know, the way we think of AI from when it first started being introduced back probably in like the 50s, the idea of machines doing the work for us. It always leads to the idea of a utopia where our menial tasks are taken off our shoulders. All of those things are done. And we as humans get to live a life of enrichment, to dance and to sing and to make art and to play, because we're not burdened with having to make a living and growing crops because we have robots that do it for us and they do it better than us. And so from that standpoint, if I've built something that allows human beings to enrich themselves and become extraordinary at something like art, I don't feel threatened by AI at all. I think that this contribution, what I'm trying to build, is evergreen. It's not going to end with me. And I, well, at least I hope that it doesn't. I hope that it goes on and that people are able to take this and utilize it and do with it, you know, see their artistic skills develop so they can express themselves in that format. And I hope that that lives long past me.
I love it. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you, and where can they learn more about your courses and your academies?
Yeah. So, well, the brick and mortar schools, they're scattered around. That's artacademystudios.com. And you can just look that up. There's locations. We have, I think, 21 in the US and 2 overseas. But actually, it's the online program that people would want to look at. And that's evolveartist.com/lifeblood. We've got a landing page for your audience. They'll be able to get a few free things. See how our education works. We deal simply in the basics. We deal in fundamentals, which are relatively simple. Like, I don't believe in advanced ideas or techniques. I believe in an advanced understanding of the basics. If you have those, you'll win every time, and it keeps it simple.
It's a lot to be said for keeping it simple. Well, Kevin, I appreciate it. If you enjoyed this much as I did, show Kevin your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to evolveartists.com/lifeblood and check out all the great things that Kevin has been talking about and see if it's good fit for you. Thanks again, Kevin.
Thank you for having me on.
And until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.